Aloha and good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I apologize for that mechanical failure there, but what the heck, it all good in one day. It could be worse, huh? Anyway, I was going to play you a little bit of Southern gospel music and chat a little bit about Emmanuel AME Church there, but we won't dwell on it. As most people say, we need to get over that. It's over. So maybe next week, if I can get the technology to cooperate, we'll listen to some Mahalia Jackson and some Sam Cooke and, you know, all those guys, the Alabama Blind Boys, and, you know, on and on and on. But being that the equipment didn't come up to par, up to snuff today, I still had many subjects to talk about, and one of them is the Hawaiian monk seal. And we're going to talk a little bit about the water, the drinking water over there at Red Hill. And you know, I hear about how they colonized the islands and they did this and that, and I read about other places and Camp Lejeune and this cancers and illnesses and all of that, and government overpowering the little man. Well, right here in Hawaii, you have a living example. As we speak, it's growing and blossoming into one hellhole, and that is with your water. No matter what it is, your state government is corrupt. The EPA is corrupt. The Navy is corrupt, and you should have been there to watch this strategy that they employed at this meeting. I mean, it's elementary, but unless you're really aware of it and what transpires, you start the meeting, and then you start to tell the people what it is that they don't want to know and don't give a darn about it, because they don't care how thick the metal is and how old it is and when it was built. They are wanting to have answers and participate in offering their comments, so they have to sit there and wait. Now, mind you, I'm sure there's many of you like Mike Gabbard, Senator, and Dante Carpenter. Now I see why nobody voted for him, and I was scratching my head. Why the hell did they vote for him in the first place? Just standing there telling people about his management of an apartment building and all of that, and there were greater things of greater importance to discuss. But this thing, what they call a meeting, a briefing, wasn't a meeting of the minds. They were already predisposed to orchestrate this thing, even down to where the media would have been. Imagine if the media had the occasion to be there and film the people making the comments, the adverse comments. Why not put that up front? Because we already know that it's there. We know the tanks are there. And do we care about the mechanics of the tanks at this point? We're there. We're called to and convened this meeting because it was a leak, in several leaks. And in the AOC, the consent, they state, as I've read on the show, they don't really know the quantity. So there's a big lie. You think what's on the ground in the aquifers, what's in the air is a lie. And the EPA, this is a RCRA, this is an environmental justice issue. And who but the people that are sitting there and conspiring and feeding the Navy's lies and shielding them is the EPA. And my God, you want to see a sad tail wagging a puppy, a whimpering puppy. That is the State Health Department. Absolutely, they can do better, but I guess when all you are is a wimping, whiny little puppy, you do nothing. You sit there and you pretend that you have this strategy, and you don't even know what you're proposing something. And the Navy and the DLA, the logistics agency, has already signed this document. That should be telling right there. that they've already signed the document, waiting for the health department and the EPA to sign. Of course, the polluter would be happy, because you see what this is doing, as I tried to point out earlier, it's insulating and immunizing the agency. Why on earth, if you can't quantify the number of gallons that you've lost over the years, and you state it's unknown, and you really don't know where the plume is and the constituents to what levels and degrees, why would you be eager and hurried to sign on to something if you were the DOH and if you were the EPA? Why on earth would you sign anything when you don't know what you're signing? You don't know what's underground. They don't know. The Navy does not know. And some say, well, the Navy owns the tanks and the logistics owns the fuel. So what? The issue is not who owns it. The issue is who's going to clean it up. And so, quite naturally, Ernest Lau, again, you folks out there, I know it's kind of a difficult situation, because on one hand you open your mailbox up and you see your rates go up and things like that. But in this one, he got it right. He's asking, why would you sign that when you haven't controlled your leaks? Why would you sign that when you won't double line it and to ensure that there is no further leaks? But once you sign that, and this is a trick, this is why I said what I said about the EPA and the state, and that is, they know that a consent decree, as one gentleman said, well, it takes 180 days by law, and he then said that maybe 190 some days. And that's true in a legal sense, but here's the problem. To get to that point, you must have these parties, the enforcer, that's the EPA and DOH, to disagree with the Navy. But if they're agreeing at this level, you think they're going to go along and disagree later? No. So it's a conspiracy, it's a fraud, and it's perpetrated on the people and the environment here. And I suggest, in my opinion, there was something that left me with a bad taste in my mouth too at that meeting. The Senator Mike Gabbard, whom I approached and gave many a documents to before he even knew there was oil on the planet about this subject, and in turn, he stood there, and you guys got to digest this the way you want to, but I'm sitting here still scratching my head. He's on a task force, and he discloses that, well, you know, the 20 up there is, we know there's a problem there, but I'm worried about the other 27 or 28 he named as some little boastful child, you know, some bully that is, well, I know something you don't know, smart alecky. Well, I want to know, where are the other 28 or 26 or 28 tanks, Mr. Gabbard, that you, the public, came to you like myself to inform you of this problem? You then become part of a task force, and you become privy to the information, and then stand in a public meeting while we're struggling and trying to figure out the first 20, you then tell us there's 26 to 28 more without disclosing any specifics. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that and I saw a number of people there, and I thank you for acknowledging me, and many of you said you'd listen to the show, and I saw that there was Filippo and quite a few other people. Senator Laura Thielen, she was there, and she opposed this consent. City Councilwoman Fukunaga, she was there, and she's saying the full city council object to the AOC. And then we don't hear what the state is, because they're sitting there presenting this. It was just a sad, sad situation. And for 2 hours, they went on. And then when, just as if that wasn't enough, and half the crowd had fallen asleep or anxious, and there's a percentage that just stopped in to make the comment and then leave, you know, because they got other things to do. They're not people that's advocates every day of 24/7. So they call a break after the feds and the EPA and the state had given their little dog and pony show, more pony than dog, and they then call for a break. And so that's a strategy where a percentage of the people will start to migrate out. Because, you see, they want to sign this thing. And my question is, what else is in those tunnels? What else? Why is the Navy rushing? I mean, because, you know, in theory, you would think, well, if they rush and sign something, either they know specifically what they're doing or they're reckless, or they're doing this and figure, if we can just buy time, if we can trigger this consent, then the state is in our corner. Well, they're in our hands. Actually, they're not in our corner. The EPA is in our hands, and we control them. And so, therefore, there's going to be no enforcement. So when we find more, we'll just say, well, you know, basically, and probably the Navy don't have to say anything because the EPA, once they sign that, you don't get them to come back and be aggressive. Never seen it. They give them one time, two times, three times to screw up, and then conditions of that consent generally are enforced by the people that signs on to it. And so you and I wouldn't have, unless we had a WETAM or some crazy, that we came up with some information on our own. So that situation there was, it was sad. And I'm really appalled that the health of the citizens of this state, especially here in Oahu, is being placed behind or given less degree of importance than the welfare of the Navy. And that material is still in there, and again, we don't know when they clean those tanks. We don't know what happened when they have leaked and they say, oh yeah, well, tank five has been offline now and we cleaned it off. And some people were very astute and had it. And you can go, if you'd like to, go to carolcox.com, and we're going to post those the recordings, and you can listen to them for yourself. And don't forget now, you still can offer comment to this thing, your acceptance or support for it or your disagreement to it, to the AOC. But you can comment. Go to the www.epa and go there, or you can go to borderwatersupply.com. So anyway, if you go there, let me give you that a better one. This is www.epa.gov/region9 Red Hill. That's www.epa.gov/region9/Red Hill. Now, again, I like this one because, you see, most of the times we're trying to pitch you and say, well, as advocates, we think you should advocate, and if you're inclined to. And this one here, I'm going to sit back and say, it's your water. You can drink it the way you want to, let them serve it up the way you want to. It's all on you, boo. All of this is this time. It's not on the activists. It's not on the government. It's on each of you, one of you, that turn on that tap and go, I need a fresh drink, or I need to cook some rice. I need to boil my veggie. It's on you. This is when the turf meets the beach or whatever. Something goes on here. This one's on you. So if you sit back and you are entertained, find it entertaining that you read about the stories in the paper and you see the comments on TV and you see that, if that's what is good enough for you, good for you. This is a matter of life and death. And while we can't say that this has caused cancers, because we don't know what's there, but some of those testimonies and especially one, make you think, where they've described certain cancers, whether rare cancers, and having the same, another person having the same cancer, and families with three and four members dying that lived in the Mauna Loa area. Now, we can't say drinking water caused it, but we can't say it did, and nor we can't say it did. So, that's a real bugbear at your doorstep, folks. And I know that many of you out there want to stay away from getting involved because life has been so good for you, and you don't want to be characterized as a radical, and you just don't have time because you got other things. But I would say to you, even I didn't see the bottled water companies, the commercial companies. I didn't see any of them chiming in. And I don't know what their sources of water, but I understand some of them take directly from the aquifer, have their own pumps, or have their own sources that come from the aquifer. That being the case, you would think they would be there, because they're selling this water, and they may be cleaning it out of some things, but other things, if you don't know what's in them, then you surely can't clean them out. So this is a big one on your doorsteps, folks. And the thing is, Mr. Lau was is not involved in to the degree they say that he was invited originally, but to participate in this consent, and that the thing is, here's not only did he send out a letter, Mr. Lau, to say that he object and wanted double lining, and basically he laid it out, clean up the few that is already underneath the tanks so that contaminants don't reach the wells. Then he double lined the tanks and install advanced leak detection and tank corrosion protection. He said those things. But he also said that he asked, and this is, he was there in the initial stages, I'm informed. But when he asked, what if something goes wrong? And what if we discover something to that effect? Do we get a chance to go back at the Navy? The answer basically, well, no, we wouldn't. So it was one of those factors that caused, some suggested that was why he is not there. So he actually not only sent the letter out alerting you, the consumer, but he also spoke and asked the questions that DOH should have asked. So I don't know, I can say this to you. Most of these people in office that have been appointed, the solid waste management guy, Steve Chang, Yamada, Stuart Yamada, no, not my Yamada, Yamada. But, so, and then the EPA, they got their orders. So they're not going to buck the system. So the EPA got their orders, the gentleman that's in town, he got his orders from higher-ups to work this thing out and minimize the impact and cost to the Navy. Then Steve Chang, Yamada, they got their orders. And who would have been giving those orders? Well, it would be either the deputy or the governor. So if you're inclined, write the governor and ask him, does he condone this kind of behavior? Why are we fast-tracking this thing, something so vital, something so critical, drinking water? Why would his people be eager to go in and agree to something that has yet to be quantified in its totality? Now, either they're lying, and we know that there's more constituents and pollutants in the water than they've openly admitted or have quantified. We know that. So why would they? And we know that we obtained records from the state health department, and their explanation was, we didn't look at those, and there's about 5 years of records that actually that they claimed they didn't look at and was an oversight. So you would think then the state would be saying, we need to clean these up, empty them, because we don't know. And remember the Navy, there was an instance where the Navy said, there is no plume. So all the basic things we cannot agree to, agree on. Consent decrees, the Wahiwa Reservoir, for example, talk about failure. You remember the consent decree to clean that up and all the plants that grew there. You had two events of plants, aquatic plants, that got out of control because of the high nutrients in the water. And what were the nutrients from? Sewage pumped from the Wahiwa sewage treatment plant, as well as the Helimano military system. Now, some of you may have thought in early years, but Schofield Barracks dumps into a flume that goes out back to Wailua and dumps out and then goes across and irrigate the coffee fields and back up in the Bishop Estate lands up near Kahuku and those areas. But the reality is that consent decree required them to buy certain things, do certain things, but you, the citizen, would have to, if you found out, you would have to go to the state, and it would be the state who would decide whether they would pursue any violations or breach of that consent. So you still, the gatekeeper signs on, and then on your behalf, and then when something goes wrong, it's the gatekeeper who wards you off or fends you off. So that's what this consent is about. So in other words, a formal agreement is that the state will be in a position to insulate in a legal fashion the Navy from any serious prosecution. Because you see, once something is discovered, and there's another little sneaky thing in there where they, in the consent, they acknowledge there's an unknown quantity of few underground in that have leaked. So sneaky. Here's what they do. Well, you knew you signed this consent, but you didn't admit to the field, oh, yes, we did. We said there was an unknown amount. So that lets us off the hook. It insulates us. It immunizes us. And that's this game. So if you're caught up in the ounces of water that you drink per day, then this probably way over your head and no reason to be concerned. But if you're looking for government transparency and government fraud, the Red Hill situation is about as fraudulent of a practice that I've witnessed. And it's in motion. It's being developed. It's being designed right down to the hosting of the meetings. That meeting should have been one of type that when they go in, the mic was open, and we want to know what it is. So they gave us 2 minutes to speak. 2 minutes. While they took 2 hours, basically, to tell us about the Navy's, you know. The Navy didn't speak now. It was the EPA who spoke. And it was DOH. The same monotone, drag-out BS that you've ever seen. And then all of a sudden, okay, guys, we got 30-some of you here. We're going to take 2 minutes each and let you say peace. And I believe the way things are right now, they were going to be, it's a fast track. It's already a done deal. And bonsai, I should say. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Actually, I was just calling to say, well, let's go, defense.
That's why you shouldn't drink the water, folks. If you don't have a reason to get involved now, there you go, right there. I think he lives on top of the aquifer. So, there's a reason. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, hello. Good morning.
Yeah, hello there, Filippo. How are you?
How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good.
Hey, that was some meeting, basically. I'm glad the, you know, we, the people of the wall, owe Mr. Lau an appreciation, yeah, of highlighting that the, you know, the people need to come to this meeting. But the thing about it is that when you read his letter that he sent out, you know, to the customers, you know, they give conditions, basically, and the conditions of the stipulations of what water, water supply, you know, what they would consider to be minimum, yeah? And what they're saying, basically, number one is to conducting our own groundwater studies, yeah? And basically, because as it was disclosed that they are not part of this research and this committee that's been ramrodding this thing, yeah. And I'm very disturbed with the State Department of Health, yeah. Especially EPA, you know, EPA is all started basically on a national level, yeah.
Right.
Departments of Health have always existed in communities. You know what I mean? I don't care. They may not have been the best, but they've always had a concern over their, over the people of their communities, yeah? Whether they were state, Hawaiian kingdom, whatever it was, yeah? For them to not to ignore that the Board of Water Supply, the experts in the area of water, yeah? Not be part of this committee. That bothers me tremendously. And in, and Mr. Lau's letter he sent out, he's saying that the water supply minimum standards would be a double line tanks, and number two, install advanced leak detection tanks, corrosion protection, and number three, it was to clean up the fuel that is already underneath the tanks so that the contamination does not reach our wells, yeah? The thing about it, people, is that Mr. Lau only can go so much. It is up to the people to stop what is going on here.
Right.
Namely, remove the tanks. Remove the storage, yeah? The fuel belongs to the federal government. The water system belongs to the people of Hawaii.
Right.
And if we sit back and think that things are going to be taken care of, as Mr. Lau had indicated, the aquifer is the only one of its kind, referring to that area, and there are no cost-effective alternatives that can replace it. Once it's gone, it is gone forever. And people got to realize how vital. No one in their right mind, unless, of course, during the times of emergency, yeah, you have to do things that are extreme, which basically was the, these tanks were installed before December 7th. Now, you're not going to give them a bay full, Pearl Harbor, a harbor full of ships waiting for somebody to attack them, and have your storage tanks in the same vicinity, yeah?
Right.
Those tanks down below on Kamehameha Highway basically are just probably for the purpose of a normal use of a week or a month. The major storage is up on that hill. And what bugs me, Carol, as you well know, there's a 7.2 mile tunnel that connects the tanks to Makalapa.
Right.
And in the tunnel, they have to have transmission pipes going down below.
Right.
Now, when you deplete the storage tank up on the hill, you refill it by having another pipe from Makalapa going back up to the storage tank. So this whole thing of 7.2 mile is an exposure, disastrous, catastrophic risk
Oh, yeah.
Now, people of Hawaii should not live with that.
And pipes do rust, and pipes do fail, and on and on.
Oh.
And I believe that to sign this thing, it's not even premature. I believe it's a contrived way, approach to actually lie to the people and cover up this catastrophic environmental event.
Well, you know, this thing, as you well know, this thing was built in a time of emergency, yeah? Mm-hmm. Contemplating
mm-hmm.
that there would be some kind of an aggression of some kind, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, my father-in-law worked there, okay, as I mentioned at the meeting. And everything was done, basically, full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes. If you didn't need to go home, you didn't have to go home. You stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
They provided all the things that you needed, the necessities. Food, sleep, rest, you know?
Right.
And it was a 24/7 operation, almost for 2 years. And certainly, you would think when they would install something you normally call an inspector, yeah,
right.
who has the authority and responsibility to check the welding, to check the conditions, yeah, you think that they would wait for an inspector from the, at that time, the territory, or even the federal government to come out and check things? No. Anyway, keep on it, my man.
Well, I hope we... I appreciate it and enjoyed seeing you there in your comments. And
well,
I...
We're going to keep... You keep us posted. I'll be there.
All righty, my friend.
Okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right, brother.
All right, Filippo.
Mahalo again.
Thank you. So, a couple of you tried to call in, and Tusha, if you're encouraged to call back. But again, I guess rather than trying to guess how much fuel is in the ground and what contaminants are there, I'm not going to burden myself with that or trouble myself with that. I get the picture. You see, because I've told you about the Nimitz and the harbor, the military's fuel lines over there that still poses a risk and the leaking and that are contributing to the degradation of the environment over there with petroleum product. We also know about the Air Force had a line that, you know, coming down out of Mililani side, and we haven't even addressed those things. So when we just take one piece of the pie, you know, we're dealing with a slice of this thing, and we don't know. And I will hearken back to Mr. Gabbert's. I mean, I know he's feng shui and whatever, got a level-headed thinking better than all of us. But I'm bothered by that a man would go on a task force and then be bold enough to come in and go, well, if you think that's something, basically, I know something that's worse. Well, what is it that's worse? These are the kinds of people that serve us in government. Caller, go ahead with your call comments.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
If the, excuse me, 1 minute.
The Twilight Zone. Do, 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 do.
Yeah. If the military is storing jet fuel up in Makalapa area, where does the state store their jet fuel commercial? Where are their tanks at?
I don't have...
What's the situation with their tanks?
Well, it depends on... Well, they don't manufacture it, so maybe it depends on if it's contracted. You mean the state National Guard?
No, the state. All these... We have jets here 24/7 coming in, commercial jets.
Oh, well...
Consuming huge amounts. We've got the fuel lines coming from somewhere in Nimitz to the airport.
Well, yeah.
Where are the storage tanks for all of these?
Well, just like you know, where there's a tank, there's a hole in a tank, Delilah or whatever. Remember the Kehi Lagoon, the most recent one? In fact, the one that's ongoing right now, where they're recovering the fuel that leaked? And that one, they said, 40-some thousand gallons it only leaked, you see. And what happened with that? You got the EP there, too, lapping out of the hands of big business, right, and covering up and making reports. You see, EPA, it's a very strange thing. You have the state health department here regulating it on a daily basis, but when Big Brother needs to step in and cover up like they do, they come in, and the jet fuel that you, when you go to Sand Island, you know, before you go over the bridge, going into Sand Island right. Business District, right there, those tanks, that array of tanks, one of them, number two, leaked here recently.
Yeah, I remember that. Bob.
Right, well, that's
it
where...
Going.
Right, that's where that fuel is for the commercial jetliners, and it's owned by the jetliners, the airliners themselves, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, right. they are, and we reported that, but again, all of that, my friend, is something that... They all take on the same flavoring, how they're handled. The state health department...
I know, but we have thousands of gas stations with storage tanks that leak.
So what are you saying? What are you saying is...
I don't know.
Who's looking into those? Well, again, see, the state health department... There was an underground storage tank, a new rule some while back in the recent past. And so all underground storage tanks should have been removed and taken, pulled out, even in the gas stations and redone and what have you, right? So my wonder is why didn't the state catch the Navy's tanks up there? They were underground. They are underground, right?
Well, I think I heard they found out there was leaking, that there were... They noticed the drop in the meters, indicating when they weren't drawing fuel from those tanks, that the meter was still churning just like our electric meters.
Yeah, so when was this one now? This?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
whenever this discussion started.
Right. Well, what they've been doing is they've been playing loose with the dates and the facts. You see, if you look at the most recent news articles in the paper, they try to establish that it was 2014 where 27,000 gallons leaked, right? Now, if you remember that one time they admitted that it was leaked, then went to the meeting, and then they say, well, they really don't have a leak. Then they went back and said, well, we need to put a monitoring system, but then the monitoring system would be too expensive, and you got all this malarkey running back and forth. And the reality is there were leaks, as we've pointed out, go back to the 40s.
Yeah.
You know, one instance, 3.1 million gallons spilled. Mm-hmm. But you see, when you're defining the moment in the conversation, and containing it because you have an outcome that you want, you steer the people. And 2014 is the official day. But let's just go back to 1998, as I asked in the meeting. Where was the vigor and the efforts on that one? EPA, Department of Health. You understand? And on the many other leaks that have occurred.
Yeah. Well, my understanding is the majority of the tanks are under Foster Village area. And I only know that because being in real estate, when you were selling homes there, you couldn't disclose that there were tanks there because it was a secret.
Mm-hmm.
That your house was above thousands of gallons of jet fuel or fuel.
Right. And I understand the need for secrecy, and when we're talking about military strategies and all, if we're inclined, I appreciate all of that. But when it is known that it becomes a health risk to others, are we able to just sacrifice, and who in the Navy and the EPA and the health department decide who they will sacrifice and what community for the sake of the nation? And then who in the health department that I've never met anybody that has that capacity or have a heart for it? So I think...
The basic question in the leak is who's going to pay for it? You know, everybody's not taking responsibility, so I think that's what the delay. The primary action should be to fix it immediately.
Yeah, here's
no matter what the cost.
Here's a good question, and when people ask that, and I think that's brilliant, because you know what? This is why it's okay. I feel justified in saying what I say and encouraging and saying, clean it up, shut it down, clean it up. You know why? Because ultimately, you and I are going to pay anyway. It's not costing the Admiral anything out of his pocket. He's going to get his pension. He's going to get his raises and all. Who is it going to hurt? It's going to harm the health of the people. It's going to harm the health of the taxpayer. And it's going to harm the financial stability of the taxpayer. So we're going to pay for it anyway. So cut out all the bull and get down to the basics. Stop running around. And when they ask, well, it's going to be expensive. You're damn right it is. But how much does it cost when a cluster of cancer in a block of a city street? How much does that cost?
Getting back to those tanks, they were built for World War II for the extreme need for fuel out here in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're what the need is for anymore. Maybe it's to shut it down completely.
Yeah, well, I can't and will never say what they need and don't, because to have a military and to have it strong and vibrant and whatever it is and go out and screw with other people, you need fuel. So I don't have an opinion one way or the other, but when we know that fuels are jets to go and blow up people for whatever reason because they don't agree with you, shouldn't be killing the people here in our home country. I mean, what are you protecting us from?
Well,
the cancer or the terrorists?
Anyway, one more comment. Those huge tanks along Cam Highway there, that's fuel for the ships.
And when you say Cam Highway?
Yeah, all those huge fuel. And it was surprising they were not attacked by the Japanese. I think the Japanese maybe felt they might have use for the fuel in those tanks if they had ever taken over the island.
Mm-hmm.
They
went for the vital parts, the ships themselves. And,
right.
And then leave the infrastructure and they pull in and they have fuel. They don't have to transport it and they have the infrastructure. That's plausible.
Yeah, well, they could have hit the tanks, and the ships wouldn't have fuel to go to sea, so it was one or the other.
Well, I just regret that the Japanese didn't drop a bomb with some integrity and set it, make sure that the health department and the EPA and the Navy and all would have some. And that's what we really, you've heard of a stink bomb. How about an integrity bomb?
Anyway,
it's a corrupt practice, and that's when people's health is at risk and at stake.
Well,
I
think money is the root of the problem. Nobody wants to pay for it. They want to find who to blame, then whoever blames has to pay for it.
But I guess in
the state doesn't have money to pay for it.
I guess in a capitalistic society, I guess somebody's going to pay. So I guess the payment would be, each family, when they have three members in the family that has cancer, so they would end up footing the bill as their own private needs. So that would be one way of footing the bill, right? Because you're going to treat for cancer and all the rare maladies that come with these contaminants and what have you. So somebody's going to pay. It's just that I guess the good old American way is that we all take responsibility and take our share of cancer, and then we all die. We're singing glory, glory, hallelujah, America is a bright and beautiful place, right? I mean, somebody's going to pay.
Yeah.
It's just about how do you pay.
Anyway, I hope you guys take care of it, because I don't have time to go to these meetings with 200-300 people. And
all I say to you, Ed, is do you carry a towel when you wipe your ball, when you hit that golf ball and get up to the green and you got to pick it up because you want it to roll in that hole later, right?
Yeah.
Do you lick your ball or do you take a wet towel? Now, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, they're talking about the other show about golf courses,
mm-hmm.
all the water and fertilizers, that chemicals that they put on golf courses
mm-hmm.
leach down into aquifers. I don't think that's happening.
Well, but some of that water that they're bringing up on some of these golf courses come out of the aquifer, right? And so
majority of the golf courses, at least in the Everglades, are non-potable brackish water.
Well, recycled water that comes in from Honolulu wastewater treatment plant, which is the osmosis process. That's just wastewater from the sewage treatment plant.
Yeah.
R3, in fact, I think, you know. So same thing apply out there. R, you know, the stage.
We've had beach property for years before water supply came out to have a beach. Yeah. We had a beach home, and our water was, there was no fresh water out there yet.
I understand that.
Irrigation water is from brackish water.
No, I understand that, Ed, but depend on, I'll take you to the one at the very end of North Road out there in Eber Beach, as you're talking. And if you remember, they had to desalinate the land because, you remember, they were taking the brackish water and then spraying it on the grass, and then all of a sudden the salt accumulation became so high, the concentration, and it killed their grass. So I understand what you're saying. I'm not naive to any of this. But there is, just the next time you're out on whatever golf course you own.
I golf look, there a lot.
Okay, but just look to see. If the pipe is purple. If it's purple, then you're drinking doo-doo water. So I'll just leave it at that, okay?
Well, you're not supposed to drink water.
Well, no, but but when they spray in the sprinklers and you drive over and there's a mud puddle, you track that home and you walk in and you track that home. So just be made aware. Every single one of them
when
is...
When you go to swim in Cohill Beach, if you did a bacteriological study, I think the bacteriological count would exceed that for standard beach waters, which is 100 milligrams per milliliter of coliform per milliliter water, because they're not going to close off Cuyo Beach because the E. coli count is above what...
When you say they, who is they? The Department of Health, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So, you're helping helping this conversation along. you're doing exactly what I needed today. Reinforcement.
In my estimation, have no confidence in the state government, the politicians, the city council. So.
But we do this because we know we can whip them into shape. It takes a long time, but, you know, it works sometimes. And after a while, you look at it and you say, that guy works for the health department. Why? How do you know that? Because he'll have knots on his head from us, the public, saying to him, no, you can't do us that way.
Well, anyway, thanks for listening.
Okay, take care. Hey, we'll be back shortly, and just the way it is, folks, there's all kinds of discussions and debates about this, but the reality is we're in a mess. You can figure it out yourself, and you can offer all that you want, but you're between a rock and a hard spot. And if it's not the water, God only knows the weaponry that we store here. And then if it's not that, it's the chemicals and the debate of GMO. Sounds like an environmental stew, doesn't it? Well, I hope they don't cook our goose in the process of being lazy and covering up and hiding and shielding the Navy or any other company or business or agency. So we'll be right back, and this is the Carol Cox Show. Aloha.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI 102.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me. You can reach us at carolcox.com or KWAI 1080 AM. com, and you can listen to us live there on the internet, and soon we'll be broadcasting with streaming live video. You'll get to see me and my favorite friends here. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about the water, finish that up if you have any comments, and we're going to talk about seals and all of that good stuff, the monk seal and how critically endangered it is, and some interesting things developing, and they're working out the way we had hoped they would be. And, you know, when you're dealing with government, you know, some of them, instead of serving the people, they serve themselves, and anything you do as a citizen, they take it personal. So we get past that and get back to business of doing what it is that we have these agencies to do. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comments or question. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
All righty.
I don't know why my phone wasn't working.
Well, go ahead. What, the download is working. Let's talk.
Okay. It was a great evening. And I do not understand when they drink the same water we drink, why there is this issue of not cleaning it up, of lying about it, to pretending that something else is, that it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what is it about that kind of thing that they are just not understanding? Tell me when we're all on this together, watering our vegetables, drinking the food, the soil that we grow vegetables in, that children play in, what, you know.
Well, ask this question. Why would the Navy be willing, and the DLA, the Department of Logistics Agency, why would they go ahead and sign something, and when they really don't know supposedly really what's there, and why would they? Why would they go ahead and hurry to sign this document?
Well, that was, what's the hurry, unless, of course, you're covering up something even worse than we think it is.
Well, you sign it on because a consent decree is where you sit down to be gentlemen and screw the people. That's,
yes.
That's what that means. And so, I mean, and back to Mr. Lau, I mean, he's saying, hey, there's some other issues here. What if it's worse than we know? And then who's going to put the money up? So why don't the Navy and their haste or their hurry, why don't they set aside some money to a fund now to be able to respond to the migrating plume or the constituents that's found in there, or having a more frequent regime of testing? Why not have money up front? And this thing about it is going to cost. I mean, enough already. It's going to cost any way you look at it.
Well, we taxpayers bill no matter what pot it comes out of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they have money, is if the taxpayers put money into the system, so we're going to pay anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, okay, so they have a fine, big deal.
Yeah.
You know, but if the water's contaminated, what good is a fine?
Mm-hmm.
What good is all, what, there is something bigger than we think under this, something much bigger.
Yeah, well, and that's speculative, but it, just take what we have that we do know. It's more than enough to say we can't accept the approach that we see now, that's presented to us now. It's not the solution. So it, let's say there is no real booger bear bigger than what we know, but what we know is enough to be troublesome.
Big enough. That's bad enough. What we do know is bad enough.
And that's the strategy, to throw it in the lap of the people. Forget the professionals have him and hard, and they supposedly on top of this. We have an agency now called Safe Drinking Water Branch. The State Health Department. They inform me that they never received any of the information that would inform them that the Navy had reported that there were leaks of constituents in the water. Now, this is what they told me when I initially started asking. So my question is then, if the State Health Department knew that there were some releases in the water and some leaks and all of that, then why didn't they communicate that with their own agency? And then why wasn't the Safe Drinking Water Branch listing these constituents in their reports and advising the public? So,
well, now, it just blows my mind for me to be lost for words. But I heard one person say that the bottled water, she was at the meeting, she said that she called one of the companies that the bottled water tests regularly for 250 chemicals in the water. Now, that's in the bottled water. So, what the hell do we need 250 chemicals in the water? What is that?
Well,
what are the 250 chemicals in the water?
Well, it could be anything. Acetone, it could be, you name it, TPA, anything. But the question is, you could have a list of 1,000, but 250, you could test for moon dust, okay, or, you know, chemicals from Jupiter, but the likelihood of finding them, right? So you can have a whole laundry list of items to test for, but what about those constituents that the Navy never tell you that they use or contain in the water or in that fuel? You will never test for those because it was a secret project, right? And not just hiding the fuel, but to keep it in its form, in the integrity of it, to prevent from having bacteria or algae grow on the diesel or whatever in some of those tanks or whatever. But
Wait, slow down. So you put this chemical in to keep algae from growing inside the tank.
Yeah, and then, you know, this is organic, right? Diesel, right?
Right.
So,
yeah,
so, I mean, there's all kinds of things that could go in there. You could, thickening agents, you know, and up at high altitudes, your jets fly, you know, you don't want it to, I don't know, I'm just talking off the cuff, but who knows? You would have to know, to test for something, you would have to know that it's there.
What you're looking for. Okay.
Right.
So, now, these things are stored in these tanks, and for how long?
Oh, I don't.
Are they stored, and do they disintegrate while they're in storage?
I have no idea. All I know is that if the Navy expect us to accept anything that they say now, I'm suspicious of their comments and their whatever they advance, as well as I'm suspicious of the EPA. As well as the DOH and logistics agency. Here's why. They know how much fuel they purchase per year and how many gallons and what types. And then they know how much they have put in each ship, each plane, or whatever. And they have drawn down. They have meters. They could match their drains or what they have pumped out to compare to what they pumped in, and if conclude either someone's stealing it or old Mother Earth is taking it, and in the form of leaks. So what they are asking us, the general public, to do is to just become dumb as dumb and accept what they're trying to do is fast track. And it's unfortunate because it's, in my opinion, we need a military. We're apparently going to have one for a long time. For folks like me, and so just do the right thing. You can have both, I believe, or to some degree. But you know, be responsible for all that you do, and know that there are consequences. There's never a perfect situation. I mean, you take for example this recent fire downtown at Kalakaua. Yeah, the gas leak. It started off as an accident. The tiller miller machine was laying down asphalt and doing its job, and it hit a fuel line that was, again, they claim was sitting too high, didn't meet the specs, wasn't done properly. So that goes back to, this is why we need oversight, and this is why we need honest government and inspectors that are not taking golf games and turning ahead on inspections on these structures, right, and whatever the construction. And so what happened? It catches fire. The fireman comes along and pour water on it, and it's burning, and it's melting the asphalt, and then runs into the drain and down to the river, into the streams, and into the ocean. Accidents happen. In human life, something's going to go wrong once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when you start to lie and cover up, take something, well, we can't comment about that because it's under investigation. Who cares? It was an accident. You see?
Yes.
But they throw that in there because the company that is doing this work is concerned that it might be viewed that they had a problem, and so therefore They don't want to be excluded from government contracts. And you know, but the companies don't say that. It's the state agencies or the city agencies who become the lawyers or the protection or the mouthpiece for the companies or the military. And it's really not necessary. We, the citizen, know when accidents happen, things happen. We know that. It's not a perfect world.
Well, that's the reason for all the mays. This may be and this may be. Is
yeah.
that the way of getting out of things? Well, this may be.
Yeah, well, that's just
the word.
That's just a swagger that they speak with, because it really... The people that keep the interests of the public and the safekeeping, they are already predisposed of just being someone's pansy anyway. It's just the way it is. They, you know, I mean, they tell you, well, we don't really have a voice on a military basis. Well, first of all, that's military property, right?
Mm-hmm.
And military states that it's a sovereign entity and that their lands are different. We have the document and the actual citation, so... that kind of stuff is always there. And unless we have government to stand up and do its job and for the safekeeping of the people and the environment, we're going to always have these debates. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning, Carol. After looking at the Camp Lejeune and the reports of the number of men that got breast cancer, for myself, I worked on Pearl Harbor for years. I always drink the water. And I have breast cancer. I lived up in the Salt Lake area, so it makes me question, you know, how is it that all this fuel is leaked into the environment for decades? And the EPA knew it from as early as 1991. There's reports from the 18 Superfund sites.
Mm-hmm.
That the Red Tail fuel was leaking. And then hearing the testimony of the ladies who, you know, she had cancer, and it's a rare, and her neighbor had cancer. So, I mean, I think that they're really taking it lightly, and to not to have the Board of Water Supply at the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did something there that you let the cat out of the bag, because I was I have that file, and they actually, you know, in my comments that I'm submitting, is to say exactly that. The EPA already know that this site is a Superfund site. Back when, as I alluded to the other night. And so they're sitting there going, well, we don't know, and we really didn't know, but they've already characterized this, assigned it as a Superfund site. Right?
And you talked about that previous show.
So I'm just watching them and thinking, you know, this is when they really know they got the lie face on. And, you know, it's like, wow, you've already declared this a Superfund site, EPA. You were already supposed to be doing certain things, and like covering the oily pits and all of that, and removing those and getting rid of all of those practices and the leaks and all. And now all of a sudden, we're in a consent decree, and you already have a consent, basically. You've already declared it a Superfund site. So it's just fluff, I should say, to confuse the public about what is really going on. So a Superfund site, Marsha, in answers
yes.
to your question, what is up there?
Mm-hmm.
I almost said it when you mentioned that, but I was trying to, as you were talking, trying to figure out the show that I've talked about that on and read from the documents. So EPA, so some of you out there listen, boy, he says some harsh things about the EPA and he don't respect government. No, it's just that I read their own reports and I know what's...
but if we look at the condition that they left Barbara's Point and left that base in, the condition they left that, what is to say that they're any better? Look at the condition they left the Marshall Islands or Fanning Island or any of the other places they've been, what they've done around the world. When they left the Philippines, the president of the Philippines was appalled at the condition that they left the base there. And they never came back to clean it up.
Yeah, well,
they left it, you know.
Well, we don't expect soldiers to walk around with an apron on and white gloves. I mean, they are a fighting machine. But on the other hand, we expect inside of those agencies are environmental experts to monitor and marshal them along as they go and be advisors. You go to Kaneohe Marine Base, there's an entire team of environmentalists over there working, professional environmentalists. So it's not like they don't know now. It's just that the lie machine that exists now, it's not a war machine, it's a lie war machine. Or, you know, and then the little kitty cats like DOH and all believe that they are beholden, because unless they lie, the country is going to fail and collapse, and it's going to go to the colored people or something, you know.
Well, this, but there was one man there, and he never said a word, but he was walking around at the end answering questions. But he is a officer in the Navy, and he had on his lapel that he was an environmental engineer. That's a special kind of badge.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's tiny, and unless you know mm-hmm. what that means, you wouldn't guess. But they never asked him a question.
Well, they didn't want to ask him. They weren't there to ask questions. They were there to put this show on and satisfy RCRA that they went and informed the public, and they've done minimal, and then in turn they took your comments and they left with their already predisposed of what they were going to do.
That's but they did not, as you know, did not invite us to that meeting. The Board of Water Supply invited us to that meeting.
Yeah.
They were going to slide through this thing and have one or two people that were like you on top of it that write comments, but they had no intentions mm-hmm. of having the public involved in this.
Yeah. Well, they, to some degree they have to, and but they don't want to be informed. And then to sit there and even boast that it's technical.
Mm-hmm.
So you're supposed to read it.
The lights, the sound in the back of the room, you couldn't hear what they were saying. The lights were dim. You'd have to walk up to the board to see what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And in a room that big, the whole back end was just eliminated from.
Well, I thought it was about people coming to testify and give their comments. And that's, having said that, I gave an address earlier. Let me give a simpler one. For your, how do I comment on the AOC? In order to receive consideration, comments on the AOC should be submitted by July 1, 2015. Comments can be submitted via email to redhill@epa.gov or via U.S. Postal Service to Hawaii Department of Health, Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, Attention Red Hill, 919 Ala Moana Boulevard, room 212, Honolulu, Hawaii, 96814. And that's about it. That's what goes on with that.
Well, I hope and pray that they will at least read the comments. Not that it'll make a difference. If you remember when they wanted to build the bridge to Fort Island,
mm-hmm.
I sat through several testimonies, and some of your listeners that I know regularly listen, we all went out there to testify against the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was not one soul that testified for the bridge, and guess what? We have the bridge.
So one thing I want to point out, and then I'm going to get to another subject, but the is that the Navy has already signed on, and the logistics agency has signed on already.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a done deal.
But you would think they would wait until the public had a chance to comment, right? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? They're saying we're going to take public comments, and the state is saying we haven't signed, and the EPA is saying we haven't signed, but the other two have signed. How on earth does that work when you would think all parties involved would have waited until the comments be made, right? So the Navy is a dead giveaway. They aren't concerned with what you say and what I say, and nor is the EPA or the DOH, because they would have said, you know, this is unreasonable, irrational. How can you sign something when we haven't gone through the full process? You know, someone that works here may have a some kind of information in a package, a thumb drive, and be the Mr. Snowden of the Red Hill Tank Farm. And you're going to sign this thing? Something. Let's hurry up and cover our asses.
To all of the comments, which were very good, all 30-plus comments, I learned more from listening to them, to the comments, and the questions that came up, with incredible amount of information, and everybody that commented had good information, and unbelievable, and how you can sign off on something at before having heard all of that.
It's like signing off on a premature document. Mm-hmm. Caller, go ahead with your comment and question, please.
I was going to tell you, Carol, that where I learned that the government doesn't care about what you say at all is I don't remember a few months back when the Army was thinking of downsizing,
mm-hmm.
and they asked for public comments. So I went down there and virtually, I listened to the whole thing. And virtually everyone that came in there, well, first of all, I got down there early, and a lot of us got down there early to get a good seat. Well, as we're sitting there waiting, ready to talk, four or five politicians walked in, some elected or actually some appointed also, and they took precedent over all the rest of us. And finally, one lady got up and said, "You got to quit. You got to let the people start talking, and not all these guys." Every one of them had the same talking point. In fact, they even had the entire congressional delegation come in by Skype, and every one of these guys had the same talking point about how the Army should be. Or yet, when everybody took testimony, when they started taking testimony from the people, I think maybe one or two supported the Army being here, but all the rest of us were giving very cogent, good reasons why the Army should downsize out of here, and some were quite eloquent. But a couple of days later in the paper, I saw some general said, "Nah, we're just going to leave Hawaii pretty much the way it is," even though they can't even train here. You know, they have to go, they can't do adequate training here. They have to go to the mainland to train primarily.
Mm-hmm.
If they really are going to be deployed anywhere, they go to the National Training Center somewhere out in the desert in California.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's where I learned. It doesn't matter what you say. Their mind's made up. You don't want to confuse them too much with the facts.
But isn't that pretty bold to convene a meeting, invite everybody, and then to sit there and say, "Well, you know, we've already signed it. We don't give a damn what you have to say." And it's rare that that you would think that they just hold off most of the time, right? Even though they're good. But this time, and I'm sitting there going, wow, these are educated people. Too smart for our own good.
Yep. It was pretty amazing. Anyway, I just thought I'd pass that along.
Thank you. And we'll hopefully we can strike up a conversation about the mayor's use of that Save Our Heroes or something like that.
Save Our Heroes. That was it.
Well, I'm going to try to look at that because
all heroes.
Yeah. I mean, I served 3 years in the Army, and I'll serve again if I have to or if the occasion came, you know, the need. But you know...
But I wasn't any hero.
Yeah, just serving your country. And right. But we don't have to serve our country and then drink the nasty water.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. We paid my dues, no.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
And don't eat the yellow snow. That's all I can tell you.
Right on.
Okay, brother. Thank you. All righty. Well, anyway, Marsha, real quick, you got it before I go to my other subject here.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, in the news now currently, there's the debate about the Monk Seal.
I saw that in the paper today.
Yeah. And it's... Let me explain to you, you know... There is this hurry on the part of, you know, that there was a Monk's Hill recently when the tugboat sank, and there's so many thousands of gallons, and they were removed the animal, and then in the process, shortly thereafter, a female that they captured was pregnant. She miscarried the baby, and then in turn, then she died later, not very long after that. So They didn't want to talk about that. I've had to file a FOIA about that. Now, remember, the monk seal is a critical, critically endangered, and the monk seal requires some great scrutiny and close. So recently, there's this activity that, and it's been their problem as long as the monk seals have been coming to the main Hawaiian islands, or as some say, they were never here and was transported, but nonetheless,
they're here.
They're here, and they're biting the hooks, and they're ingesting the hooks, and they're getting caught. So, to skip over a lot of things, you have this group called the Monk Seal Research Project, or whatever they call it. Now, mind you, the chief, Mr. Michael Tosado, refused to even answer any questions. He's just not going to talk to you about that. I'm not going to answer any questions about the death of the other one. But they went ahead and presented on their Facebook now about the animal, and they say they were exonerated because it appears and it seems like the animal died from toxoplasmosis that it got from possibly feral cats. So, anyway, recently, about 3 weeks ago, you know, there was one with a massive hook in its mouth, and they, the person that called in and reported it, said that I'm at Kaina Point, and it's here in the coral, and they told her, and this is, I'm conveying what she informed me, that they told her that they're off doing another emergency of some sort on another monk seal, and I'm told indirectly that it was something to do with the monk seal up the river, and they were busy with that, and they weren't coming. But when it hit the newspaper and got media attention, they changed their story, and you know, because they're not really there to protect the species. They're there, like many other things, there to protect their own image. Because you see, they should be out there morning, noon, and night making friends with everybody, because the better the network. But these are elite people, people that are brought from the nice sleepy communities, you know. You don't see many people of color involved in this whole thing. You look at the National NOAA and the National Marine Fisheries Service, and you think, gee, there's only two black people in the whole world. You know, so that in itself, what does that have to do with seals? They're there to protect something from us, but then the reality is we need to protect those animals from them, because they will become political. And the political part of it is, they don't want to openly talk about the need and the requirement to address this impact of the fisheries. And this fisheries is the lure fisheries or the sports fishing. And it's setting the fishermen up now. The fishermen are not out there to catch monk seals. They don't want to even interact with them. But it's a reality. So instead of doing what they should be doing to take the pressure off of the working out something and addressing it, so it wouldn't come to a point where it impacts the fishermen, they quietly sneak around and remove the hook out of this one. And in reality, there are some serious issues that are going on with this thing. They have to take care of the monk seal. And just for a few things here, I have the Hawaiian monk seal, the stock definition and geographic range. The minimum population estimate is a total of seals is 909 identified in the six main Northwest Hawaiian Island reproductive sites. Is the best estimate. Minimum population size at those sites. Minimum population sizes for Necker and Niihau Islands, based on the formula provided by Wade and Inglis, are 1987 are 41 and 86 respectively. The minimum abundance estimate to the main Hawaiian island in 2011 is 146 seals. The minimum population size for the entire stock is the sum of these estimates of, or 1,182. Then there's a current, but anyway, let me get to the status of stock. In 1976, the Hawaiian monk seal was designated depleted under the Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972, and as endangered under the Endangered Species Act of 1973. So the Marine Mammal Act came first, and not taking precedent, but many of the rules and it applies as well. So the species is well below the optimum sustainable population, OSP, and has not recovered from the past declines. Therefore, the Hawaiian monk seal is a strategic stock. Annual human-caused mortality for the most recent five-year period is 2007 to 2011 was at least 1.8 animals, including fishery-caused nearshore gill nets, shooting-related death, and blunt force trauma death of unknown origin. So, what happened is that based on this... So there's this debate. I noticed the advertiser, and I noticed when some of the TV stations did the story, it's focusing on, well, we didn't, to this recent one, well, they didn't call, the people that saw the animal and found it didn't call the research people to warn them of the, okay. So ask yourself, researchers, why didn't they call you? They call you the first time. Is it that they don't care about the animals? Well, that would be a bald-faced lie if you drew that conclusion, because they're hiking out there to Kaena Point three times, four times a week, and then standing out in the sun from dark in the morning to dark at night, and they bothered to call, but no, you told them you were too busy. And then this is a huge hook, the recent one, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that it would work its way out. And you told the media that. And then you ran and got your friends to lay out this elaborate article with the hook glowing from an X-ray. But the reality is, they took it hook, line, and sinker like you, wanting us to. The reality is, and the need is, that you have, by mandate, have to make an assessment, must require the state to do something about the monk seal, and look at and evaluate the impacts of the fisheries, the nearshore, the shore fishing, on these animals. You're not doing that, so you're shirking your responsibility, and you're trying to focus on, they didn't call us. They, if they'd have called us, and so the second one, they tell you they're not coming on the first one, and then so that you folks will understand, I am the one, if you're listening out there, I am the one who decided not to call you so that I could see how you run with your boo-boo eyes and put that machine in order and go back to the media and do exactly what you're doing, whimpering and whining that these people are not calling you, when the reality is it's a bigger issue. You need to do something to assess the impact of the fisheries.
I thought as much that it was you that found the seal, that took the picture of the seal, who had spent the day out there with the seal.
Well, I got the original call, and it was because, you see, now it, everything is about, this person is no good, he doesn't understand, and this, and it's like, how can you allow this to creep into your heart and your mind when this is a critically endangered species? This isn't not play, this isn't child's play. You have in your hand the fate of a species that is near at the doorsteps of extinction. And all that you can focus on is to run to the advertiser and run to the TV stations and lay out this beautifully orchestrated, they didn't call us. If they'd have called us earlier, it was almost a day before they called us. You're darn right, it was probably a day. But remember, when the hook was larger, you said you're not coming and it would fall out. You told the media that it would work its way out. So why would we call you when it's in the same place, the same animal, type of animal, and you now say, well, you told the media, well, the reason we couldn't, didn't go is that it was a danger to the monk seal or to our staff. Well, isn't that funny? You were able to go out there yesterday and take the hook out, and then you're complaining that nobody told you. Well, it's not our obligation to tell you anything. Especially, you've been insulting and you belittle people and ostracize them, and then you have people running around slapping the phones out of other people's hands. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Why would anybody call them up and engage in conversation or trust anything they say?
Well, this is just a classic example. I don't know. We were taught in civics, even in segregated civics, that this was the country for the people, by the people, and of the people. Mm-hmm. Well, somewhere we lost that. I don't know where to, or I know that those were pretty good words written by Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. but the point is, nobody believes it.
Well,
I mean, they teach it, but they don't. The government is not about us, for us, or by us.
Well, these people are just simply what has happened. It's orchestrated, and we're concerned that if the animal died while you were trying to capture it, you say that it was tagging, then let us know about that. If the animal miscarried her baby and the animal died subsequently later after that, and we ask questions, don't look at me in the eyes or tell me you're not going to talk to me because you're more powerful or you're from a different race of superior people. Well, I don't know what it is that you got in your mind, but when you gravitate to a debate of going to the media and, well, they didn't call us, be respectful. If you shun me the first time, don't go back and try to belittle me and say that I snubbed you this time. Own up to it. If you're that arrogant and if you're that superior and supreme in your ways, then don't bother if we don't call you. You see, because we are concerned about the animal. We're concerned, genuinely concerned about that. While we may not have PhDs in poking and probing and cutting tissues and sampling them, we do have a heart and an understanding that when it comes to a hook in the mouth of an animal, that normally Mother Nature didn't put him here on Earth or her on Earth with a hook in her mouth. So why should you think that, well, it'll work its way out? If you've seen these hooks, the one that was in about 3 weeks ago, you'd understand. And if you watch these animals suffer, it is worth responding in a timely fashion. So for those of you that are faint of heart and get your feelings hurt and that we didn't call, I stand by that action. You were called originally on another situation, and you didn't come. So please, if you're listening, don't expect to be called if you don't come and you don't respect people. There's one gentleman who's a native Hawaiian. This gentleman walks out there practically every day to see these whales, and you treat him as if he should be sitting on the back of the bus. So it's not about who call you first or who call you when, and then you run to the media. And I have to say, KHON, advertiser, you got this one wrong. It's not about them being called and when they were called. It's about them not taking action and addressing. And I wrote on the 3rd of June of this month to Mr. Mike Tosato, and I said to him, time is of the essence. While we discuss the various aspects of safety concerns of people and the animal, the hook is taking its toll. I believe that due to the number of hooking events in the past, your agency must complete the negligible impact determination, or NID. You had an individual named Sarah Malloy, the PIRO deputy, was working on some years ago. We now know the fisheries is affecting the Hawaiian monk seal. If the National Marine Fisheries Service cannot issue an NID for the shore fishery because of the Hawaiian monk seal, is a strategic stock and it is declining, what are you proposing to do? When will National Marine Fisheries Service take the necessary steps to address the problems presented by this fishery? Failure to take the necessary measures to protect the HMS or the Hawaiian monk seal from this fishery will likely trigger formal civil action. I would appreciate any information why Ms. Malloy's project was not completed. Thank you for the response, your response. So, ladies
did
and gentlemen,
did you get a response?
I did. After I had to call Washington office and complain that for some reason they don't talk to my kind. They talk unless I'm on Facebook. Call a good morning. Go ahead with a comment or question.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm on the internet, so I'm a little time delayed. I'll turn that off. I was going to respond to the lady's comments about the government and who they're for. just by mentioning back in 1791 the Whiskey Rebellion. Are you familiar with that?
Go ahead. Go ahead with the
point. Basically, it's presidency of George Washington and Alexander Hamilton, the Treasury Secretary. They went out about getting a tax from people producing whiskey in regions further west, and it just turned into a problem, I guess. And it just seems like there is something called government. It does things like talks about shortages of resources and sends everybody into war to get ground up. So I'm not sure what. It's hard looking at God for all these things.
Yeah, well, keep listening, and we'll work it out, huh?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So, I, in answer to your question, thanks, caller. In answer to your question, Marsha, I then get a response on June 15th. Mr. Cox, I believe you're recollecting the past effort between the state of Hawaii and the National Marine Fisheries Service as it relates to the state's application for an incidental take permit for green sea turtles and Hawaiian monk seal. See, so the state Department of Land and Natural Resources sought to address this problem by getting an exemption to allow the take, basically, incidental take permit. First, to summarize the process, the Endangered Species Act, Section 10A1B, authorizes NIMS to issue an incidental take permit, ITP, to non-federal entities for the taking of threatened and endangered species that is otherwise prohibited by Section 9, provided that taking is incidental to and not the purpose of the carrying out of the otherwise lawful activity. Applicant developed plans, commonly referred to as a habitat conservation plan, provided a means for non-federal parties to conserve the ecosystems upon which listed species depend and contribute to recovery. As part of seeking to secure the incidental take permit for their lawful activities, a conservation plan is required before NIMS can issue an ITP. NIMS must complete other analysis prior to issuing an ITP, including a National Environmental Policy Act analysis and biological opinion prepared pursuant to Section 7 of the ESA. And in the case of marine mammals, any take permitted under Section 10 must comply with Section 101A5 of Marine Mammal Protection Act. NIMS would have to establish that the total of such taking during each 5 years or less period concern, this, I had a typing here, period concern will have a negligible impact on the species or stock. It is this latter step to which you refer to in your email. Regarding the status of the past effort, in 2005, after consulting with NOAA, the state of Hawaii withdrew their application for an ITP pursuant to Section 10 of the ESA to focus on direct recovery efforts, which are described in more detail, absent a request from the state to obtain an ITP for their fisheries. NIMS no longer has a basis to issue a permit or make determination pursuant to the MMPA. Cease additional work and analysis after the state withdrew their application. You see, so again,
wait a minute. When did this happen?
About 2005.
When did they withdraw it?
About 2005, I'm thinking, or maybe earlier than. In 2005, they're consulting with NOAA of the state withdrew their application.
Okay,
so, you know, if you read the papers, it's all about somebody didn't call us and let us know that it was hurting. But we're not telling you that we said, oh, it's okay for the earlier one with the bigger hook because it'll shake it out. But now you guys are bad because you didn't tell us where it is. I'm a veterinarian, and I know better. No, you need people skills, too. You see, poking and probing and cutting and slicing and dicing isn't part of being human. That's the mechanics of being what you do. So you need to be a little more polite and don't be slapping the phone out of people's hands and associating with the likes of those kinds of people. And when people call you, just give them the straight skinny. We're not able to or what have you. It's no problem. They understand. We understand. I understand. But when you then run to the newspaper, it's fun because you are now publicly doing exactly what I had intentions of you doing. And I wanted to bring attention to the issue that monk seals are being hooked. Not about you not being called. So you bit the bait and you swallowed the hook, folks. Thank you. We are a little brighter than you think. And so for those of you out there that are associated with this effort, with NIMS and the professionals, just know one thing. There's more than one way of getting you to do what's right. Even at the expense that it might look like we are cruel and inhumane to watch an animal and not call you but call the media. Now, we've learned that you rely on the media to advance your lies and your image, so we figured we'll use the same media that you run to disseminate the facts and the truth. And the facts and the truth is that where that animal 3 weeks ago were lying and you refused to come, you had no problem running out there to the same type of spot, same coral head, broken coral, and you removed the hook. Isn't that amazing, folks? See how smart we are, folks? All you got to do is be a little nice to us, and we might call you, too. But not at our expense, not to be insulted. There is not one person that I know that don't care and love these animals like you guys do. In fact, I think their love for these animals and appreciation is much deeper, profound than you. You're doing it because of a job. So be more
do
sensitive.
They have, what about their staff? Do they have a sufficient staff to do this?
I don't know. I haven't heard anybody complaining that they don't. So they have sufficient. That isn't part of the discussion.
No, I'm just.
I don't know. I don't know what they didn't come. That's all that I'm.
They didn't use that. They didn't use that as an excuse.
They said that initially they were too busy. They were on some other emergency, and when they felt the pain and the sting of that, what didn't come across too well, then they started their explanation morphed into something else. And my purpose is to say, it's okay. I can get my feelings hurt. You can even snub me. But you're not going to continue to operate and cover up and give us shoddy reports. And then when you think it's good, you run to the newspaper. You see that elaborate article they had with the hook and
yes.
The glow, the bling hook on the heart in the chest x-ray? You know, hey, they did good. They got it all orchestrated. But you still, if you ain't got people skills, you can have all the technical skills you want. You didn't get called because you told us that you couldn't come and that you wouldn't come because you were preoccupied with another rescue. And so why would we call? And you said that for weeks that it would shake the hook out, which it eventually did. But it could have been more tragic, and because of it was a steel leader. And it could have snagged and drowned the animal or ripped his lip off completely, a big gash. Who knows what could have happened? So this was a real simple one.
But the idea that the animal had to suffer with this thing in its mouth, can it eat? Or
It was doing good. Apparently, I didn't see any loss of weight, but I didn't watch him for that. My concern was that I wanted to make sure that the public know that the fishing activity is having an impact. And that's for the sake of the fishermen, because if this continues, someone is likely to file a civil action and say then there may be a moratorium or a prohibition. And now NOAA has fenced you guys in because they allowed the state to withdraw its assessment. And anyway... this entire thing is, there are no, this is what I, writing and understand and read, there is no specified potential biological removal level of Hawaii monk seals. It is not increasing, as I read. The MMPA classifies fisheries on the impact they have on the national marine population, monk seals, as a percentage of PBR. NIMS will not and cannot define a PBR for ancient Hawaii monk seals because it is decreasing. The fishery Ulua Shore Fishery is not listed on the MMPA list of fisheries. Many other Hawaiian inshore fisheries are, such as spear fishing and things of that nature, gill netting. Natural marine fisheries is basically out and basically flaking out on us and avoiding this issue for the last 10 years. This lady, Sarah Malloy, PRO, was working on a negligible impact determination for the shore fisheries. It is suggested that NIMS cannot issue the NID for the shore fisheries because the Hawaii monk seal is a strategic stock and it is declining. The fishery is known to affect the monk seal, but NIMS will not touch the issue. The agency is required by law to assess the fisheries because it is affecting a strategic stock. The fishery needs an authorization letter issued by NIMS. Each take is illegal and seriously affecting the population. Because the fishery cannot clear MMPA, natural marine fisheries cannot reach a non-jeopardy opinion under the ESA, Endangered Species Act. Any take under both the MMPA and the ESA is illegal. Nobody wants to tell these guys out on the beach they are causing harm. It is a political hot potato, folks. So if you think we're gravitating to your ilk or your thinking that we didn't call you, you keep it up. But we are concerned about the animal, and we will file an action. And you can go back to the advertiser and the news, those that favor you and want to perpetuate that and gravitate to the fact that we didn't call you. I say once again, we didn't call you because I wanted and knew that you would run to the media once again, and how better yet to have you to run our flag up the pole. So, amen, and thank you very much, and power to the SEALs. So, anyway, just kidding, but thank you guys for joining me. And, Marsha, real quick, got 10 seconds.
Yes. Well, thank you for, on behalf of all the monk seals and all of the other marine mammals, thank you for, and all the people like that, that really care, that really take the time to care.
And they do it for free. We do it for free. So anyway, I'm over time now, and we'll talk to you guys later. And let's take our hats off to the Emmanuel AME Church and any other victim of terrorism. So thank you.
Hurts so much. So goodbye.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.